We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. And that means my co-host is the incomparable attorney, Mark Furman.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Good. Thank you, Mark. I hope you don't mind that introduction.
Not at all.
Known you for a long time, Mark. Everything you touch is quality. That's what I've seen. So I hope you don't mind the compliment. But our next guest, a first-timer on the show, Damien LaPlaca from Divine Millimet.
Correct.
Great. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about your firm? And also, I know you're going to talk about a recent Supreme Court decision.
Yes. I'm with Divine Millimet. We have a Boston office, and it's a full-service firm. We do corporate, we do securities, we do commercial litigation. And I focus on commercial litigation with an emphasis in IP litigation, patents, trademarks, copyrights, that kind of litigation. Typically defending clients who have been sued for some kind of infringement. So that's what I focus on. And I've been doing this for some almost 30 years. Began my career actually clerking for a federal judge in Puerto Rico, and I've been in Boston since 1988. So I represent clients both in Puerto Rico and in Boston.
You try to do the Puerto Rico portion in the winter?
I try to get down there sometime around November.
Yeah.
And then see if I can come back sometime around May.
I love the Spanish Virgin Islands or the American Virgin Islands.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes. Great for sailing, great for beaches, great for food.
I've sailed there. I've done all those things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Tremendous.
But that's not what we're talking about today, so I'll try to control myself.
Okay.
You know, this whole recent Supreme Court decision on the First Amendment on the impact of trademarks, not something I'm totally versed in, but I'm sure you're going to try to help me now.
I will do my best. The issue was a clause in the Lanham Act, which governs trademarks, called the Anti-Disparagement Clause. And the challenge was made by an individual who was a lead singer in a rock group called The Slants. And it's an all-Asian rock group. And he tried to trademark the word slants, which, from his perspective, was he tried to reclaim the word. But to a large majority or population of Asians, it's a derogatory term. So the Patent and Trademark Office would not grant him his trademark in that word because of the anti-disparagement clause. It disparages Asian Americans. So we took a federal lawsuit challenging it on the First Amendment grounds, brought it all the way to the Supreme Court and won. And the Supreme Court ruled that the First Amendment trumps the anti-disparagement clause because it allows the government to engage in viewpoint discrimination. In other words, the government would be allowed, and had been allowed for some 70 years, to decide what kind of a trademark would be disparaging and what kind of a trademark would not be disparaging. And it wasn't relevant that he was using it for a non-disparaging use, but the fact that some members of the Asian community might find it disparaging is what allowed, under the statute, the Patent and Trademark Office to preclude him from getting his registration. So he won that case, and it's opened the door to a lot of other potential trademarks. So is this decision good for startups and the little guy and entrepreneurs? I think that it is, because it broadens the scope of what kind of marks can be now registered under the trademark statutes before the USPTO.
Damien, I assume I've read about a dispute relating to like sports teams' names, like the Washington Redskins, and what are the implications of this decision on those kinds of disagreements?
Right. I think what it means is the Redskins will get back their six trademarks that were canceled, I think, sometime in 2014. They've had those trademarks since, I think, the 1970s. And a group of Native Americans challenged those trademarks and got them canceled before the Patent and Trademark Office. The Redskins since then took an action in federal court to challenge that decision. And that case, they actually tried to get that one to the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court took the Slants case instead of this case. It's now pending before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Virginia as to whether the Redskins can get their trademark back. I think they're likely to do so, because the only basis for the decision to deny their trademarks, or I should say cancel them, was on the basis of the anti-disparagement clause. So they're likely to get back their trademark. There hasn't been a decision yet, but I think it will come down fairly soon in favor of them.
Are there similar cases relating to the Cleveland Indians, Atlanta Braves.
I'm not familiar if there's a challenge to those, but an interesting case in Massachusetts brought by the Acushnet Company, which is a Massachusetts company that is the Titleist company, the golf company.
Sure.
An individual, if I can have a little bit of freedom talking about some of these.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Things. I'm okay. Just sitting here. It's great.
Great. Well, an individual has come up with an idea for clothing, golf clothing, that he has used the same stylized font as the Titleist font, and his words are tit lost in titties. And he goes under the hashtag golf porn. So Titleist last month took a lawsuit against him claiming trademark infringement. What Titleist can no longer do is claim that this mark that he's trying to use in commerce disparages Titleist because of the recent decision from the Supreme Court. So it's taken away that armor, I think, on behalf of a trademark owner that it would typically take against somebody using a mark that would claim to be disparaging. There is another provision in the Lanham Act that hasn't been yet challenged, but I think would fall too. It's called the scandalous provision. A mark that would be otherwise known to be scandalous could not be trademarked. So because of the First Amendment decision in TAM, finding that the anti-disparagement clause falls under the First Amendment, I think also the scandalous provision would fall too. So they can't challenge that under the scandalous provision. They can't challenge it under the anti-disparagement clause. What Titleist can argue is that this causes trademark infringement. In other words, a likelihood of confusion of the source of the goods between tit lost and titties and Titleist. But I think they might have a problem because a lot of folks would look at that seemingly offensive mark, those words, on some kind of golf apparel, and they wouldn't think that that's coming from Titleist. They wouldn't be confused about that.
It wouldn't confuse me. Right. Maybe I'm stupid.
It wouldn't confuse a lot of people, I think.
I'm sorry. You just touched so many things that I see every day. You know, for so long I was being trained about diversity. You know, embrace diversity, acknowledge diversity. It's what makes us great. It's part of an American fabric. And now over, it seems, the last 10 years, this whole political correctness has been looking to sort of backtrack that and homogenize us. And I don't, you know, my personal feeling is respectful diversity, not homogenizing us. That's my personal opinion. I like to see the uniqueness in all of us. We're not all the same, but I do believe in respect. But also, you know, we can't take ourselves too seriously. And this is a company that wants to be on the edge with its marketing platform. That has nothing to do with Titleist. That's the way I saw it.
I think that's right. And I think from the business perspective is it promotes competition.
Right.
Somebody else, the little guy, can now get a mark or use that mark, maybe even get a registration at some point in a word or a symbol or a design that he would or she would or otherwise would not be able to get. And it promotes the competition because they can use that intellectual property, that protectable IP to promote their own business, which doesn't have anything to do with anybody else.
You know, and when I was a kid, I'll just say my favorite NFL team was the Washington Redskins, Sonny Jurgensen. So I know Mark remembers those days. And, you know, if I would have been lucky enough to have had a Washington Redskins shirt, I would have never thought of it in a derogatory way. I would have worn it with pride and expressed it with pride. But I understand how some people are sensitive to those subjects.
Well, the First Amendment protects offensive speech. A trademark can be a form of offensive speech. So to some, the Redskins is a form of offensive speech.
I understand.
But the First Amendment protects that. It's one thing that is so solidly and as a part of our country, as a fabric of this nation, that you have the right to speak freely and you have the right to speak offensively. There are limitations to it. Fighting words are not protected. Defamation isn't protected. But offensive speech is protected. And it's protected both commercially and individually.
So is this the predominant part of your practice today?
It is. And I think trademarks, I think all kinds of intellectual property are fascinating because I typically work with entrepreneurs who are hands-on people. They're very much part of the decision-making in litigation. They're not the kind of a client that asks you to make a problem go away. They're hand-in-hand with you on an issue that is so fundamental to their company. IP is usually the largest and most important asset of a company's business. And to protect that IP is so crucial to the success of that business that they have to be hands-on with what they're doing with their IP, whether it's a copyright, a trade secret, a patent, or a trademark. So it's a, and I always think it's interesting. It's always cutting-edge issues. And I just really enjoy working with those kinds of clients.
And does the law really, it's just constantly evolving because of the Supreme Court's constantly changing and its cases in front of it. Is that correct?
It is. And it's changing because technology usually precedes the law. So the law is always catching up with technology. And the law sometimes has a hard time doing it. And the Supreme Court, I think, oftentimes follows the waves of feeling. A decision that may not have been rendered by the Supreme Court 100 years ago can now be found from the Supreme Court 100 years later. For instance, gay marriage, a whole different subject, but 100 years ago, the Supreme Court may not have found that to be a constitutionally protected right. 100 years later, well, it will be. Nobody challenged, I think, before the Supreme Court, whether the First Amendment would protect a trademark or a mark in an offensive word until now. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. had found that the First Amendment didn't protect those rights before. The government had before said this is government speech, because once we give you that registration, the government says, of a trademark, that is protected, that's government speech, and therefore not subject to First Amendment protection. But the court has now found that's not government speech, that's private speech. And so, therefore, that private speech can be used by individuals and companies in the commercial marketplace.
All very exciting stuff. I'd love to talk to you more about it. Love to have you back on. I'm intrigued. I feel more like I'm the listener than the interviewer here. If somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Well, they could find us on our website at Devine Millam & Branch. They could call me also at 617-778-7506 or email me as well from the website, too.
Right. I want to thank you for being on the show. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm here with Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Thanks, Mark, for co-hosting with me. And I also want to thank Mark Z, the fabulous Mark Z, who's in the studio, who also brought Damien in and introduced us to Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.